to St. John's Sermons, a podcast from St. John's Lutheran Church, North Prairie, Wisconsin, a congregation of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We offer this podcast with the loving encouragement to use it as a supplement to your own regular reception of the Lord's gifts of forgiveness and life in word and sacrament on the Lord's Day. The Lord bless your hearing of these sermons.
A reading from St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Now Jesus stood before the governor, Pilate, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not know how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he answered, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our theme has been not our plans, his plan. And as we've been going through the whole Passover account, just in the Gospel of Matthew, we see, and you could see this in Mark and Luke and John as well if you read the Passion accounts, you see how rich this story is, how deep it is. Spend just a little time in the Passion, you're spending time in what is arguably the greatest literature ever written. Except it's not literature in the fictional sense. It's really happened. When one reads these accounts, one's struck how, in real life, you see all the great hallmarks of great literature. You see contrast. You see irony. There's a ton of that in the Passion. You see paradox, where two things that are in contradiction are still true. In the Passion, you see this nowhere more strongly than in the trial before Pilate and in the result of that trial. Tonight, we're going to concentrate on some of those literary aspects. As we contemplate contrast, we'll notice the contrast between what Jesus is, or who Jesus is, and what he endures. The big point of the questioning with Pilate is, are you a king? Look what this king must endure. You know, for you and I, it's a whole lot different than maybe even for the original readers of Matthew who weren't there. See, you and I have read the story. We've read to the end of the story. like cheating and reading a mystery novel, we already know how this is going to work out. We already know who this man truly is. That's what makes it so powerful. The irony is so thick, you can cut it with a knife. All around him are those who do not believe, who do not accept, who do not worship him. No one knows, not even Pilate's wife, who he really is. The disciples have all fled, but as we read and listen, we still believe and we marvel because this man is the king, the very king that they're mocking. You see this throughout the book of Matthew. In chapter 2, a star announced his birth, and the wise men came from the east asking, "Where is the one who is born king of the Jews?" The very universe itself had to respond when Jesus was born. He is the king of the Jews. In chapter 25, Jesus tells us that on the last day he will return as the king. And he will sit on his throne and all the nations will be gathered before him. He's not only king of the Jews, he's the king and Lord of all. We know that. All true and faithful readers of this text know that he is, in fact, the king. So, marvel at what this king endures. Let's talk about pathetic Pilate for just one second. At the hands of Pilate, Jesus endures much. Pilate is the ruler. 6 times he's called this in the text. The ruler, the governor. He sits on the throne. He gives judgment. He has the power of imperium. He can speak on behalf of the emperor in deciding formal death penalty cases. No one else has such power. But he knows that Jesus is not a threat. He's a righteous man, yet he's powerless to release him. Even his ploy to use Barabbas failed. Great. It was a great idea. You take a terrorist and you put him next to Jesus and you think the crowd will finally get it. But they don't. The crowds choose Barabbas. And now Pilate has to avoid a riot. He orders Jesus beaten. He has him led away to be crucified. Pathetic Pilate is a politician. And you know as well as I do that that's a dirty word in these parts these days, isn't it? But that's what he is. Jesus endures treatment from the hands of one such as Pilate, who has to do what the people want. He doesn't have any votes to collect, but he does have the peace to keep. And there's more. Marvel at what the king endures at the hands of his eager enemies. Accusing him, always accusing him. Their charges were false. Jesus posed no threat to the Roman authority. He was not setting up an earthly government. They're busy swaying the people, though. How? We don't know. They're successful in getting everyone to shout when it's all over, "Give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus." These are the people who didn't want a king. It's not the sort of king Jesus was advertising being. Incredible. They hated the Romans. They wanted their own individual nation. Some of them thought Jesus was there to do that. But at the end of the day, they cuddle right up with Rome. See what he endures. See how low he stoops. And there's more. Marvel at what the king endures at the hands of the sneering soldiers. The entire cohort of soldiers is brought out to punish him. One man merits all the soldiers and Pilate's guard. That's what the story tells us. Remember back in the garden? When Judas shows up with his thugs, and Jesus says, "What have I done that you come out here with clubs and swords and everything else?" Now the whole cohort of soldiers is brought in on Jesus. A maximum of 600 to 1,000 soldiers, though perhaps only those who were on duty in Pilate's house. but hundreds at the least, jeering, beating, mocking. They array him and acclaim him, lo, the king, and kneel down before him as the king. But you and I know, right? That's what he is. He is the king. But see how low he stoops. So low as to allow such treatment at the hands of those who make sport of him and who will soon crucify him. It really is quite incredible. The contrasts are amazing. The irony is fantastic. Nothing like this has ever happened before or since. The question that calls out for an answer is why? Why? Why has Jesus become silent before his accusers? Like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth, Isaiah writes, 700 years before it happened. Unjustly accused and innocent, he stoops low because he's come to die. He's come to endure this. That's why he's there. And he knows it, if no one else does. You and I, as the informed reader 2,000 years later, we should know that too. He goes there so that others don't have to. He goes literally under the bus so that sinners like you and I need not perish. Why? He came to pour out his blood for the people and for their children. The saddest irony of all is that in the words of the people, his blood be on us and on our children. How ironic. Remember, not our plan's his plan? That's precisely God's plan. Jesus' blood on them and their children. And on you and on your children. The crowds didn't know what they were saying. They didn't understand that they were actually stating the gospel. They don't get it. They don't know that this is precisely why Jesus stoops so low, to shed his blood for the many, for the forgiveness of sins, for the forgiveness of their sins, for the forgiveness of your sins, for the forgiveness of my sins. Why? He has come as the king to rule in mercy and in humility, to rule from a cross, and from that cross to bring us to God's kingdom, God's royal rule of mercy for all those who tragically reject him, and for all people, and for you, and for me. Our response? To grasp, as God enables us, just how low this king has stooped out of love for us. You need never doubt a love such as this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This podcast is a service of St. John's Lutheran Church in North Prairie, Wisconsin. For more information, including location, service times, and links to other Lutheran agencies, please visit our website at www.stjohnsnp.org. That's www.stjohnsnp.org. Theme music performed by Mr. Philip Magnus.